Morning to you all. We want to thank you for your presence today. This week's conference will be focused on presenting the financial results for Grupo Argos for the close of the third quarter 2024. In this space, we have Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Piedraíta, Vice President of Fair Corporate Partners for Grupo Argos, Rafael Olivera, Vice President of Legal Matters for Grupo Argos, Mauricio Osa, President of Odin San Maria Clarice, Isabel, Manager of the Urban Development Business, Pablo Rodave, Vice President of Corporate Finances for Odin San Maria, and Andrés Bejarano, President of Pactio. I want to remind you all that in our website, we've placed all of the information for the quarter together with the presentation that we'll be following during this teleconference. To download it, you can go into menu, financial information, afterwards into the section reports. We're also transmitting this conference through a space of X. We want to invite you to move on to slide number 3 of the presentation so we could start. And we want to give the word to Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Juan Esteban. Good morning to you all for being with us during this call. We will be sharing all of these strategic advancements and the results for this third quarter of 2024. That has been very fruitful, as we'll be able to share with you all. Our businesses have kept showing positive results, which has been reflected in positive figures that are consolidated for Grupo Argos and that we'll be sharing up next. Nevertheless, before presenting the results of the financial results of the company, I want to share with you about some matters and recent announcements about the future of Grupo Argos investment in Grupo Sura. Last 25th of October, as you might all know, after the authorization that happened during the board in terms of potential conflicts of interest, Grupo Argos, previous the approval of the board, subscribed a memorandum of understanding with Grupo Sura. In virtue of this agreement, both parties committed to explore exclusively and, if possible, defining a transactional structure that has as a result that Grupo Argos and Grupo Sura will stop being investors of each business, both directly and indirectly. The transaction structure that's object of study and it's being explored right now under the framework of this memorandum of understanding must guarantee an equitative treatment to all the shareholders of the companies that have been intervened. This has to be financially feasible, accounting feasible, and legally feasible, and in times of execution also, when each one of the parts to continue deepening its specialization, developing their business planning long term. This memorandum of understanding is aligned with the objective of reducing in an orderly manner the cross participations with Sura, consolidating with the specialization of Grupo Argos, the management of infrastructure investment, and guaranteeing the continuity of the business plan, opening a new chapter within the history of the value generation of this company that we believe is important to place under context. And that's why I want to come back to the history. In 1978, a group of businesses within which we had Grupo Argos established a cross-participation structure and non-controlling with the purpose of driving the growth of the region and the growth of the country. It advanced in such a way of making businesses focused on positive impacts for the shareholders, clients, collaborators, communities, and for society in general. Today, 46 years afterwards, I want to start by recognizing that this structure has been fundamental for the growth, internationalization, the stability of the companies that have contributed to the development of strategic sectors of the Colombian economy and to all its related groups. When this was established, the investors were seeking for diversification. Nevertheless, the context changed with the opening of the economies and with the sophistication of the markets and the investors, by which we've moved to a world where capitals freely flow and investors prefer to manage the diversification according to their own preferences, reason by which the cross-participation structure has become in an investment alternative that is less attractive than what it was in the past. When someone purchased in that time a share of Argos, they were also accessing to a participation to a business group, the Sura Group, and to the food group, to a food group in that time was a Nutresa Group. So that was a way of exposing to a proxy of three very important sectors of the Colombian economy. That diversification is preferred by the investors according to their own preferences. Grupo Argos, its strategic investments and portfolio investments, I must say this with pride, are leaders in their sectors with presence in all the American continent and are ready to take up the next step in terms of growth and consolidation. We consider that the simplification of the shareholder structure could become the main milestone in terms of value transfer and revelation to all the shareholders of Grupo Argos and will be aligned with the appetite of the global investors and the market trends. Keeping, and I want to emphasize on this, simultaneously the essence of the business philosophy, which is the positive impact over the rest of the related groups and revealing value for its shareholders. This new structure can also enable unexplored growth avenues that two simpler companies in terms of their equity, focalizing their businesses and with a more important role in the global context could generate lots of growth and avenues of growth for its shareholders. Grupo Argos portfolio has experimented a significant transformation, product of its most recent transactions, concentrating in infrastructure. A transit that will end in a 100% specialization once the company stops being a shareholder of Grupo Sura. On the slide you have in the presentation, we could see how the investment portfolio for Grupo Argos has transformed in the last 12 months. Taking as reference the values on the ledgers of our non-listed investments, such as Odinsa, the urban development business, Pactia and others, and the price of these shares in the Colombian Stock Exchange of our listed investments, such as Celsia, Cementos Argos, Grupo Sura, in its moment known as Sociedad de Portafolio and previously Nutresa, we can see that in terms of the third quarter of the previous year, meaning by this 2023, Grupo Argos portfolio has a price close to 3 trillion Colombian pesos, reaching 19.3 trillion Colombian pesos. This increase is supported in the close of strategic transactions and in the fruitful operational performance of our business. From another side, the disinvestment in Grupo Nutresa and the operations such as the ones we mentioned about Summit Materials have allowed that for the infrastructure segment to increase, reaching two-thirds of the value of our investment portfolio of the company, aligned with the strategic route in order to keep on specializing it in the infrastructure sector. Now I want to invite you to move on to slide number 4, where we want to go over the breakdown and the evolution of the separate expenses of Grupo Argos. It's important to remember that when we share the same company registration number of than Grupo Argos, the administrative expenses of the separated financial states include both the structural expenses of the holding as well as those associated to the urban development business, which as operational unit incur in expenses such as land taxes, vigilance, maintenance, and the payroll linked to its activities, which already appear reflected as a lower present value in the reported ledgers for this investment. That's why when we analyze the administrative costs of Grupo Argos, it's essential to exclude the specific expenses of the urban development business. Besides, in the last 3 years, some non-recurrent projects that have enabled the generation of value and the specialization of the company in terms of infrastructure have generated superior expenses to the historic average. I'm speaking more specifically about those expenses associated to the attention of the public, the OPAs that have been launched by Grupo Sura and Grupo Nutresa and even by Grupo Argos that clearly do not correspond to the operational expenses of this company. Excluding the expenses associated to the urban development business and this non-recurrent projects, we focus on the expenses that reflect a daily operation of Grupo Argos S.A. Holding, which have showed a significant drop and even lower than the inflation with an annual growth rate of -4.5%, this once again, -4.5% between 2015 and 2023. In this same decade, the real expense reduction, the company doubled its EBITDA, going from 2.6 trillion Colombian pesos in 2015 to 5.5 trillion Colombian pesos in 2023. It doubled the dividends distributed to its shareholders, going from 234 billion in 2015 to 548 billion to 2023, and reduced its consolidated debt close to half in respect with its peak during the pandemic. The relation between the expenses of the holdings in the last 12 months, excluding the expenses of sales and land taxes of urban development business, as well as non-recurrent expenses for mergers and acquisitions, depreciations and amortizations, which reached 78 billion Colombian pesos as a reference value over our portfolio, and this is lower than 0.5%. In terms of what we've covered this year, I want to mention the performance of the market. We keep on advancing in our repurchase programs, such as a mechanism to transfer value to all our shareholders in a consolidated manner. The companies of Grupo Empresarial Argos have executed more than $100 million since the repurchases began. This strategy has offered a larger dynamism and liquidity to the market in the moment that it has been required. In the last 12 months, the price of ordinary shares for Grupo Argos has increased 112%. The preferential shares have increased in 108%. The ordinary shares for Cementos Argos an 82%, and the Celsia shares a 56%. In this same period, the versatile capitalization of the companies for Grupo Empresarial Argos have increased more than 14.5 trillion Colombian pesos. At the same time that the shares have a price, the average volume negotiated in the stock exchange has also increased. For the ordinary share, in the average for the last month, it's over three times the same figure of last month, 2023. And for the preferential shares, the average of the month is four times if we compare this with the same period. Now, moving on and to the company results for what we have accumulated for 2024, I wanted to check slide number six, where we can see that Grupo Argos closed this part of the year with consolidated revenues of 11.5 trillion Colombian pesos, which are stable compared with the same period 2023, and an EBITDA of 4.5 trillion Colombian pesos, growing 39% compared with the same period previous year. This bearing in mind that as the result of the combination agreement between Cementos Argos and Summit Materials, the company disposed of 100% as of its associated subsidiaries in the United States, by which the involved assets in that transaction were classified as a discontinuous operation. As a consequence, the company made changes in the presentation of its consolidated financial reports up to the 30th of September of 2023, reclassifying all the associated parts to the assets disposed in the United States to a unique net profit line of discontinuous operations. Nevertheless, as investment holdings, the result of Summit Materials is kept being seen in the first line of the consolidated results for Grupo Argos, registering this as a participation method. As a result, the net profit closed in 7.3 trillion Colombian pesos, and the net profit for the controller in 4.3 trillion Colombian pesos. These figures reflect the profits generated both for the Summit transaction as well as for the exchange of the Nutresa shares, and which are the materialization of the value that has been generated during the period that this organization has managed these investments. Leverage on the good operational results of our infrastructure investments and driven by the same non-recurring events that impacted the consolidated results, the separate financial results showed that the accumulated revenues for the year closed in 3.4 trillion Colombian pesos, EBITDA 3.3 trillion Colombian pesos, and net profit reached 2.8 trillion Colombian pesos. Now, I want to invite you to move on to slide number 8, where we can see a summarized structure of the assets that the company manages for the close of this first semester of 2024, and how this will be consolidated and will keep on registering financial results in the Grupo Argos ledgers. We could see that despite the fact that Grupo Argos keeps exercising control and consolidation in three main operational businesses such as Cemento Argos, Celsia, and Odensa, the investments that our subsidiaries have made in the last years have led that many of the results, both assets and liabilities, are not consolidated line by line in its financial reports, and as a consequence, neither in Grupo Argos. Now, this is reflected as participation method in the results of each branch, and afterwards in the financial consolidated financial results of Grupo Argos. From now on, 31% of the participation that Cementos Argos owns in Summit Materials will be reflected in our consolidated financial results through the participation method. Likewise, the Celsia asset management business, including C2 Energy Platforms, or Tesorito, or Laurel, or Caoba, where we anticipate a great part of the growth of this branch through the associations with third-party capitals, won't be registered line by line in the financial results of the company. Likewise, the growth of the road and airport platform for Odensa in association with Macquarie result in that the results of those concessions won't be consolidated either. Because of this, it's important to consider that the consolidated financial results only incorporate a minority group of the assets managed by the company. In other words, the revenues and the consolidated EBITDA won't fully reflect the operational performance of our businesses. Now, I want to invite you to move on and go over the operational results of our businesses, which is found on slide 11, starting with Cementos Argos, that has kept focusing on the profitability and the efficiency of its operations, reaching an EBITDA growth of 4% in comparison with the previous year, despite a brief reduction of the revenues. This has allowed the company to reach an EBITDA margin of 22% up to what we've covered this year, which represents an increase of 130 basis points in respect to the first 9 months of the previous year. The company represents 46% of the total EBITDA generated by the industry in Colombia, with an average participation of 35% market participation, showing the effectiveness of its strategy focused on the optimization of client portfolio and in terms of the efficiency of its operational costs. This achievement is supported in a differentiated value proposal and in a solid brand positioning as a deep work in terms of process and cost optimization, which is known as a cross-cutting effort from the mine to the market, up to the market. In terms of the 31% investment of Summit Materials, the integration of the Argus USA assets advances based on what has been planned. In last call, 31st of October, CEO of Summit Materials reassured the commitment of materializing $40 million in synergies during this year, keeping the EBITDA guidance for 2024 that's placed in between $970 and $1 billion for this year, which reflects the potential of this integrated platform in order to capture value in the construction material industry. Before drilling down into the operational performance of our cement business, it's key to mention communication that has been issued by Summit Materials to the market the last 24th of October, where the company informed about the reception of an acquisition proposal that has not been requested. Summit has started preliminary conversations with the interested party, and in consultation with its advisors, the board will evaluate the proposal in order to act under the best industry of the best interest of the company and all the best interest of the shareholders of Cementos Argus. It's also important to highlight that there's no guarantee that we'll reach a definite a final agreement, and that Summit has indicated that won't make any additional comments till the board makes a decision. For the moment, we cannot offer any additional details. And please ask for you all to understand the situation. During the quarter, Cementos Argus dispatched 2.2 million cement tons and 654,000 square cubic meters of concrete in its operations in Colombia, Central America, and the Caribbean, with a drop of 9 and 8% in respect to the same period last year. Despite the total dispatches of cement in Colombia have shown a deacceleration product of a lower activity in the residential segment, it's important to highlight that new housing sales have started to recover, registering an increase of 23% in which have covered this year in comparison with the same period last year, which is actually a very promising signal. This increase, together with the moderation of the inflation and a reduction of housing rates, should lead to stabilization of the cement demand short and medium term, and coming back to that a growth trend in a close by future, supported on the fundamentals of the economy of the country. Once the market starts its recovery, Argus will find itself as a more efficient and agile company and fully prepared in order to take advantage of the demand expansion. In the infrastructure segment, it's relevant to highlight that the main cities of the country have ambitious plans to develop public infrastructure projects in the upcoming years, which should drive the cement and concrete demand in the upcoming quarters. In the Central American and the Caribbean region, one of the main attributes of a regional presence is based on the diversification of the economies and the asynchronism of its cycles. This allows us to face challenging market conditions and reaching profitable and sustainable results, taking advantage of the opportunities that emerge from the complementarity of the markets and the logistics connection that Argos has developed in this region. The accumulated EBITDA for this year in Central America and the Caribbean region grew a 10% compared with the first quarters in 2023, reaching $106 million with a very healthy EBITDA margin of 24%. Now, I want to invite you to move on to the energy business results that can be found on slide number 12. The controlling net profit for Celsia presented a growth of 8% up to this moment of the year, despite weather volatility that resulted in rainfalls lower than what we had on average, more specifically during August and September. This situation reduced the flow of the rivers and also affected the reservoirs of the system, which impacted directly the generation of the energy of the company, but also for the national electric system. Nevertheless, and despite this climate situation that has been seen through all the year, we anticipate that Celsia will close with a consolidated net profit similar or even higher than the one that was recorded from 2023, despite the fact that the results of 2024 do not include the contribution of disinvestment assets in Central America that did contribute to these figures in 2023. Now, this performance reflects how solid our assets are in the energy business, demonstrating their capacity to offer reliability in the electric system in critical moments. In addition, during the quarter, Celsia reached a milestone in the energetic transition for Colombia by inaugurating the first solar energy storage system with batteries that has been installed in Colombia. This innovation, integrated to Celsia Solar Palmira 2 farm, will increase the self-generating capacity of the plant, allowing that the energy that's created during the day will be able to be delivered during the night. This system breaks the traditional limitation of the solar energy system, extending its availability to more than the daily hours, contributing like this to the investment of the energy matrix. And I believe this is the beginning of the structural transformation that at a global level will the energy business will suffer with the penetration of this great scale storage. In Celsia, we see this as an opportunity in order to lead this transformation in the markets where we operate. From another side, the electric project of Carreto, located in the Atlantico department, reached important advancements. Necessary equipments for its operations have already reached the work site of the plant. And we'll continue exploring and investing in its commitment to expand the generation of clean and efficient energy. Now let's move on to see the results of Celsia. In the second quarter, the consolidated revenues for Celsia totalized 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos, representing a reduction of 5% in comparison with the same period 2023. In the accumulation of this year, revenues reached 4.7 trillion Colombian pesos, reflecting an increase of 3%. The consolidated EBITDA was of 345 billion Colombian pesos, showing a drop of 17%, explainable to the lower energy generation coming from the climate situation and to the deconsolidation of the assets that we sold in Central America. When we consider the EBITDA of the investment platforms for Celsia, the administrative EBITDA by the organization during the quarter reaches 465 billion Colombian pesos, sorry. This figure, adjusted by the sold assets in Central America, will be equal to a reduction of 3% year after year in the EBITDA managed by the company, which proves the resiliency of the company when we face extreme weather phenomena such as El Niño, explained better by its balance between regulated and not regulated businesses, as well as an adequate hiring policy and also on a balance of generation, energy generation industries. This is key for preparing the organization for the extreme cycles that the business might face. The energy generation during the quarter was of 1,030 megawatts hour, which represents a drop of 18%. Nevertheless, we want to highlight the growth in the solar energy generation of the company with an increase of 17% during the quarter and 45% during what we've covered this year. This has been reflected in Celos Energía, which is our platform of solar farms, which closed its quarter with 339 megawatts in operation, which means 39 more megawatts compared with the previous quarter. Besides this, Celos Energía counts with 270 megawatts in 12 projects and another 632 megawatts in different phases of development, which will add more than 1,200 megawatts of installed capacity for solar energy for the company in a close future. Now, let's move on to look at the results of Odensa on slide number 17. The 21st of August, Odensa and the governance of Antioquia and the Tunnel Aura Oriente concession and Grupo Argos jointly announced the beginning of the works for the second stage of Túnel de Oriente, which is a work that will represent a CapEx of 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos and an OpEx of 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos and will generate more than 2,000 direct employments. Since the beginning of its operations, the tunnel has facilitated the transit of more than 42 million vehicles. This is a figure that shows the importance of the connectivity of the department of Antioquia. Which connects the Aura valleys and San Nicolas valleys with José María Córdoba Airport. Capital for this second stage will come from the shareholders of the Tunnel Aura Oriente concession and the financing of the private banking. Project will include different parts in Santa Elena 2 tunnel with a length of 8.2 kilometers. The construction of Seminario tunnel. This is a smaller tunnel that's a bit less than 1 kilometer, and the construction of 4.5 kilometers of roads, open air roads that will connect both tunnels. A second road for Sajonia and the broadening of the axis of Via Loreto that will improve the mobility of the Seminario tunnel towards Las Palmas. Second stage of Oriente tunnel also includes the construction of the road exchange for José María Córdoba Airport that's being constructed right now, which reports an advancement of 49% in its works plan and represents a significant step in the consolidation of a modern and efficient road network between both valleys, reducing the traveling times between the sub-regions that are strategic and of a very high potential for the future of the Antioquia department. For this expansion, Grupo Argos wants to reassure positively transforming the life of improving not just the regional connectivity, but also generating employment and dynamizing key segments such as building tourism. From another side, our operational assets have positive performances in terms of airport traffic. The airport platform has mobilized 51 million passengers in the last 12 months. This is an increase of 16% in respect with the same period last year, from which 46 million correspond to the International Airport of El Dorado. This is a record figure for that asset that operates at full capacity. The performance of El Dorado Airport, which traffic grows 18% compared with the first 9 months of 2023, reflects the consolidation of Colombia as a tourism destination and business destination, and also highlights the competitive position that Bogota has in order to become into a regional hub that will connect all the American continent. The future of the airport sector and tourism in Colombia is very promising, and Odensa is found in an ideal position in order to capitalize the value that will be generated from these activities. We expect that our private initiatives, such the private initiative of El Dorado Max, that seeks to expand the capacity of El Dorado Airport to 60 million passengers, and the private initiative of the new airport in Cartagena, which proposes a construction between an airport between Cartagena and Barranquilla, both of them under feasibility studies, will keep on advancing with a good dynamic. On the other side, with a total investment, 31st of July, Keyport announced the restart of the expansion works for the Mariscal Sucre Airport in Quito, which is a cross-cutting investment made with their own resources that will improve the experience of the passengers and will increase the operational capacity of that airport. This project will generate 400 direct employments and approximately 800 indirect employments. And it will keep strengthening the position of this asset as one of the most relevant airports in Latin America. Now, moving on to the operational results of Odensa on slide number 16, the road, platform closed, which represents growth compared with last year. The growth of the concession grew 15% compared with the same period, while the EBITDA of the quarter was placed in 154 billion Colombian pesos with an increase of 2%. The expected TIR for Autopista del Café closed the quarter in 22%. The Oriente Tunnel in 18%, now including the expansion, the concession of La Pintana 15%, and Meta Road Grid in 11%. In airports, which figures are detailed on slide number 17, the traffic during the quarter reached 13 million passengers, growing 12% from its side. The revenues and the EBITDA of the platforms that have been measured in dollars increased a 7% and a 2% in respect with the third quarter of 2023. As a result, the expected TIR for El Dorado Airport reaches 18%, while Quito reaches an 11%. Now I want to move on, share the results of Pactia and the urban development business. And the real estate business that has been detailed on slide number 18, the effective gross revenue was 125 billion Colombian pesos, representing growth of 10% year after year, and the EBITDA for the quarter was 67 billion Colombian pesos, which represents an increase of 12% year after year. In terms of the same assets for the accumulated year, The operational net revenue and the EBITDA grew at 10 and 12% compared with 2023. In total, we've renewed contracts for 174,000 square meters, and we placed new contracts for 62,000 square meters till what we've covered this year. Till the end of this period, the fund closed with an occupation of the non-hotel portfolio of 97.2%. This is an increase of 47 basic points compared with the same period of 2023 and an increase of 58 basic points compared with the same quarter. Compared for the third quarter 2023, the hotel sector obtained a larger growth in terms of effective gross revenues with an increase of 14%, followed by offices with an increase of 12%. In the case of hotels, the results were driven by an increase of the rate close to a 14% year after year. In terms of offices, 9 of the 10 assets of the portfolio achieved a commercial occupation of 100% at the end of the period. Finally, in respect with the trade assets, the brand sales and the traffic increased 0.8% and 1.1% respectively in comparison with the same previous year. Now, I want to invite you to check the results of the urban development business that's found on slide number 19. During the third quarter, the urban development business kept exploring new products and strategies in order to dynamize the real estate markets in the areas of the metropolitan area of Barranquilla and in the island of Peru. In the accumulation of the year, we've structured 4 lots in Barranquilla and 1 in Puerto Colombia, besides the rural land lots in Ciénaga, with a total of 1,286 hectares, which represents significant savings of the maintenance costs, surveillance, and land taxes for Grupo Arcos. Nevertheless, the business represents a drop with the previous year, which should be understood under 2 dimensions. From one side, in terms of the P&L, the drop of the figures responds mainly to an adjustment in the reasonable value of the land lots of Pava and Baru that were made during February and that we had previously mentioned with you, where we reviewed the future appraisal, which resulted in a provision close to 96 billion Colombian pesos in the financial ledgers. It's important to highlight that this adjustment is just an accounting adjustment and will allow to explore additional usages for land lots, which also will lead to an acceleration of the sales towards the future. In terms of the cash flow, that's the second dimension accumulated in the year, we could see a drop compared with the previous year, attributable to a larger level of the expense, more specifically on land taxes, and more specifically due to the drop of the dynamic of the Colombian market, housing, on the Colombian housing market that has been affected by the high interest rates. But as I mentioned, the trend apparently it's changing towards a more positive effect. This effect obviously affects figures because the deacceleration of the new housing in 2023 have impacted the initiations of 2024. Nevertheless, given the growth of a new housing market in Colombia, as we already explained, we anticipate that this situation will change in the close-by future with an urban development business positioned in a privileged way in order to capitalize the recovery of the real estate market represented in the vis and non-vis market in Barranquilla. Now let's move on to slide number 22 in order to analyze the evolution of the consolidated indebtedness of Grupo Argus. In this area, the net debt closed in 9.1 trillion Colombian pesos. This is a drop of 24% compared with the same period last year. I would like to stop and highlight and highlight this achievement. Since the peak of 17 trillion Colombian pesos net debt that had reached in a consolidated manner at the close of first quarter 2020 during the pandemic, the group has been able to reduce its consolidated indebtedness to close and more, almost half, deleveraging in close to 8 trillion Colombian pesos. During the same period, the companies have kept on strengthening its equity and reporting solid results, which are reflected in the performance that we are sharing with you today. Separated net debt of Grupo Argos, detailed on slide 25, closed the quarter in 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos. This is an increase compared with the same period last year. That's mainly explained by the cash that was disbursed for the joint OPA for the shares of Grupo Nutresa that was thought for this transaction. Wanted to remind you that for this transaction, the company used 432 billion Colombian pesos from its cash without going into additional indebtedness. That's why when we analyze the gross debt of the company, we've seen that this just has increased 12% in respect with the same period 2023, growing from 1.6 to 1.8 trillion Colombian pesos. This means that the attention of the OPA for 432 billion Colombian pesos was done with the available cash that the company had without getting more debt. Despite the increase of the net debt due to a lower cash, Grupo Argos keeps a very healthy net debt indicator, closing this part of the year 1.7 times. Despite the disbursement of this OPA, the company conserves or keeps a solid cash position with fixed rent investments for around 345 million Colombian pesos, which has a positive carry given that its performance is over the cost of the net debt. In order, now closing, I want to speak about sustainability and reputation. And we want to share with you a news that fills us with pride. The company, Grupo Empresarial Argos, strengthened its performance in the sustainability index S&P Global, complying 12 consecutive years, being as recognized for our performance and the management of environmental, social, and corporate governance topics for more than 3,500 companies around the world. The last measurement made by S&P Global ratifies the leadership of Grupo Argos, Cemento Argos, Celsia in terms of sustainability, granting outstanding ratings, which are over 82 points over 100 possible points. From another side, in last edition of Corporate Reputation Business Monitor, done by Merkle, Grupo Argos, Cementos Argos, and Celsia consolidated within the companies that have the best reputation in Colombia. In this ranking edition, Grupo Argos highlighted as one of the top 10 companies with the highest reputation in the country, while Cementos Argos was positioned in place 16 and Celsia in position 49. Likewise, Odinsa entered the ranking position 152, placing itself in spot number 5 for the construction sector and infrastructure. This recognition marks the third consecutive year where Grupo Argos appears within the 10 most best reputation companies of Colombia and the fifth consecutive year as the best business group of the country. These achievements motivate Grupo Argos to keep on working, not just to deliver better results for all its shareholders, but also to do this in an equilibrium with the rest of its group of interests. The company firmly believes that in this balance is where the key of the construction of a solid reputation is based, with the valuable assets that Grupo Argos has been working for the last 90 years as a leader of the industry. Now I want to give the word to Juan Esteban Mejía, so we could receive all the questions that you might have. I want to say once again that besides this space where we have all our executive team to attend all those particular points that you might consider outside this call, both me as the rest of those on the call are more than available to answer any questions and doubts or queries that you might have around these topics. So thank you for being with us, and let me give the floor to Juan Esteban so he can moderate the Q&A session. Thank you, Jorge Mario. For the moment, we don't have any questions for the Q&A session. We will be giving you a couple of seconds if we receive any questions, but just wanted to remind you all that in the webpage for Grupo Argos and on the last slide of this presentation, we have the emails. You can find my email and also the investor relations group that we might attend any questions that you might have, any doubts, questions, or queries, and well, any ongoing questions that you might have about the company. Okay, so we get a question from Catherine or Catherine Ortiz right now, which she asks as follows: could we drill down on the upcoming steps that will be followed for the Grupo Sura disinvestment process? Okay, Catherine, let me answer that question. Thank you for attending to the conference and for making the question. I'm not going to be evasive, but I want to be careful with the answer. Let me explain why. As I was explaining during the call, and as we also stated publicly, this is a process. This is a process that has followed the following path. For some time now, I've publicly told the market in different opportunities, in different calls with investors, that our ambitions, due to the reasons I explained during the call, was the moment to look for a property structure for both holdings, with each one can have a position of not being shareholders of the other company, and due to clarity, to simplification, due to the attractiveness of the share, and due to focusing on our own business. And we don't believe this is necessary only, but this is also very convenient for the value generation. This was the first milestone, that conviction that the moment has come to transform that crossed our property, if we could call it in such way. In those moments, the organization started a very in-depth process of analyzing the different alternatives, and this has been done by companies that have supported us globally, like JP Morgan, for example, or IP Global, analyzing similar schemes that have happened in some parts of the world, such as in Japan, for example. And how have this evolved? Which were the alternatives that we had, or which were the regulatory implications? Which were the value implications that you might have, taxation-wise, for the company and for its shareholders? This is a process that's still being executed, and it's a very in-depth process. In the moment that the board considered that we were in a point that was advanced enough, we called a shareholder assembly. Grupo Sura did something similar in order to remove those potential conflicts of interest that maybe members of the board might have within the analysis, more an in-depth analysis and a more decision making process And for example, Alejandro Piedadita and me, and we are part of the board of Grupo Sura. Or for example, Ricardo Jaramillo and Francisco are part of for Grupo Argos board. The board gave the possibility of analyzing these alternatives. This was the second milestone that we checked in this process. The third checked milestone was described, and we announced to the market a memorandum of understanding that basically places a general framework that should lead to a mutual and exclusive effort of finding a mechanism that will allow making that transaction in an ordered manner. And as I mentioned before, attending to the best interest of all the shareholders and of all the groups of interest. And that memorandum, that's where we are right now. That's a part of the process where we are right now, trying to understand which are the alternatives that we will select. This is still ongoing, and there will be additional steps that we will be also announcing to the market once they're ready and once the board considers right, that are not very far and that are not that far away, but they're not as immediate. And when we'll share the market and everyone which is the path that has been selected to carry out this process, we'll make this in a transparent manner with all the information for everyone to understand. But today we are not yet ready and we have not yet approved, and I cannot anticipate this. Once this has been defined, we will generate all the necessary documentations between both organizations that will allow for this framework agreement that will allow for this to be developed. And this obviously will follow all the regulation approvals and institutional approvals that are required, and all the diffusion and conversation with the different shareholders and investors of these organizations in order to show the path that we will follow. Simply, I just want to reinforce the message that the spirit that supports this is very clear. Why and where do we want to reach? But what I want to reinforce is that all of the alternatives that are being studied part from a premise, and that's the equality and transparency within. And for there not to be asymmetric transfers between groups of shareholders, and that all the shareholders will receive a fair and just treatment, and that will allow the organizations and them as shareholders keep on exploring and generating value. Once again, thank you for your question. I could not go further because we basically don't have a definition of what's the path that we should follow. We're working on it, and we'll keep on working on this analysis, that it's going to be a very in-depth analysis, very comprehensive analysis that bears in mind all the variables and obviously ask for all the necessary authorizations that are required. We have been advancing, but we are not yet ready to define what is that transitional path. I don't know if Rafael Oliveira would like to complement what I just said. Yeah, good morning to everyone. Thank you, Jorge. I believe that this was very clear. And any additional topic, as Jorge said, we're more than open to answer any questions that you might have in the moment that you consider. Thank you. Well, in addition, Catherine asked if we could give her more detail in terms of the deterioration that some assets have had in the urban development business and what assets are we speaking of. We have Maria Clara Sisava from the urban development business. Catherine, yeah, deterioration corresponds to the Barú assets and Pava assets in Barranquilla. And this is because of the increase in the raw materials for the urbanism component, understanding that the appraisal of the landlords is a residual value, and any increase in the cost impacts the value of those assets. And post-COVID and all the disruption within the global supply chain, we saw these increases that we reflected in the costs and obviously in the value of these assets. So this is Barú and Pavas in Barranquilla. Well, thank you, Maria Clara. Okay, so following the order, a third question that we receive also comes from Catherine, and she says as follows: repurchases of shares have played a key role in the recovery of the price, in the market price. But at the same time, this is having a very important impact in the floating price, reducing the possibility of going into international indexes. She asks if we're bearing this in mind for the future repurchasing program steps. Let me allow Juan Esteban Mejía to answer this. Well, I would say as follow, and coming back to what Jorge Mario mentioned at the beginning of the call, since the beginning of the repurchase program that started in March, February last year, 2023, shares have had a very positive performance, almost doubling their value. At the same time, Catherine, the liquidity and the transactional volume has increased. And this in the past has been the main indicator for the entrance or for the increase of the weighing of Grupo Argos in this indexes. Since the beginning of the program, the preferential share of Grupo Argos has been negotiated four times more, and the preferential one three times more. So this obviously has had a different effect, which leads to a higher weighing of the index. And we're also seeing that if Grupo Argos maintains the liquidity indexes that we've had in the last couple of months, we would be eligible to access other indexes. So we do understand the point that you mentioned and the measure that we repurchase shares. The floating price drops a little bit, but in the measure that the companies are more valuable and the shares are more valuable, this leads to a virtuous loop, and we'll be able to access other indexes, and there will be more purchases. I hope that this answers the question, but we could go into more detail if you think so. In addition, we have an additional question from Sebastián Gallego. Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. In case of being successful, that offer for Summit, assuming an attractive value, what investment options could be evaluated from Cementos Argos preliminary? Would you consider on staying with Summit if this becomes a private vehicle? Thank you for the question. But I need to be very careful with the answer. And let me apologize for saying this openly, but due to a regulatory effect to a publicly listed share in the New York Stock Exchange, the only information that we could speak of in these terms is the one that has been published by the company as 13D. That's a format that's made with SEC, which basically says what I mentioned during the call, and that is that the company has received an offer. It's an exploratory offer that was not requested and that's being explored by the board. Due to the that I'm part of Summit Board and being part of Cementos Argos, I cannot speak more about that process. Because this would be very delicate for the value of the stock exchange. But besides that, speculating different exit routes for this process could also be inappropriate in this moment. Let me apologize. I cannot answer this question, but I cannot. In the measure that there's more information, in any sense, the company will supply this information publicly and openly, and when this information flows from Summit Materials, we'll have the possibility of increasing or sharing any of decisions that are made. Here we have a next question coming from Juan José Muñoz from BTG Pactual. Could you give us a bit more information about the EBITDA increase in the portfolio and others? And this speaks about units, but I think he's speaking about the sub-segments that we reported. I would like to understand what's included within those two lines. And then we have an additional question. The operational revenues, net participation revenues for the business results. What drove the growth? Okay, we have Alejandro Piedrahita. Yeah, maybe Alejandro and Claudio can also answer the question if it's required. Well, if we, let me give you the component of that EBITDA revenue. We usually do something, and that's that we calculate the pro forma of the EBITDA consolidated result for the November 2024. If you could see the EBITDA that we presented to the market, it's close to 4.6 trillion Colombian pesos. And the pro forma EBITDA, the index closed at 3.12 trillion Colombian pesos. The component that weighs the most has to do with the participation method that we received from Grupo Sura. And that participation method of Grupo Sura has a large component explained by the transaction that Grupo Sura closed with Nutresa transaction this year. From that value, we have 1.64 trillion Colombian pesos, which are the ones that comprehend that increase and reach 4.6 trillion Colombian pesos. There's other small things that are also one-timers, such as the adjustment that we had during the urban development business. But as the largest component of that change that's being asked, it's mainly related in terms of portfolio due to the transaction of Grupo Sura and Nutresa that comes as a participation method that's affecting both the revenue as well as the EBITDA. Well, thank you, Alejandro. In addition, we have two questions from the energy business that let me share them both together. One is from Gabriel Perez speaking about expectations that we have around the energy business for the rest of the year. And the next question comes from Sebastián Gallego, and it goes as follows. Could you give us more information in terms of the Celsia project in Peru? What types of business partners are you looking for the company, and what new projects could we expect within that pipeline? Well, thank you for both questions. At the energy business, let me answer this separate because this both are important questions for the energy business. Obviously, the El Niño phenomenon has created a huge impact due to the reduction of the energy availability in terms of hydraulic energy in our reservoirs. This obviously had an important effect when we compare this with the first quarters, more specifically for 2023, which had a contrary effect. This was a quarter where we had water availability conditions, and we were able to them to work with some regions of the country that were not affected by the drought with adequate prices. So that's why in 2023 we had a very positive base, and because of this, the effect in 2024 that didn't have the same behavior was less positive, and then we would have a drop that we mentioned before. That we would look at this in percentage terms is reflected in the EBITDA in a 17%, but in the controlling net profit with a growth of 8%. And why is this? How is this explained? This is a better balance of both businesses in terms of generation and distribution that were not affected likewise or in the same proportion. Obviously, a generation is affected by the climatic effect, and due to a drop in the expenses of the company, and more specifically to the financial expenses that the P&L has. Given that the final line is that despite a very clear phenomenon, and comparative-wise, the 2022-2024 Celsia position is higher even under a Niño condition, where the industry is going through a difficult moment. I want to emphasize on this because I believe this is important for you to bear in mind, because this is a structural condition designed strategically and carefully designed from El Niño phenomenon for 2015 and 2016, where the company prepared step by step in its contracting policy, broadening different segments. From now on, the situation is a bit uncertain, given that even though that we've been having some rains, as you might all know in Colombia, we've been having some serious rainfalls. Actually affecting certain populations and even cities. From an energy generation point of view, the recovery rate of the reservoirs is not happening as fast as we would like, and this will depend on the magnitude of the rainfalls for the rest of the year in order to understand how the prices in the stock exchange will behave. We have expectations in terms of levels in the reservoirs coming up, but we still have to wait and see how will this be absorbed by the market. With this, Celsius structural condition is very favorable and very resilient to this phenomenon, but it's also supported with a very valuable asset. That's Termo Tesorito. That's a 200 megawatt plant that's close to gas pits adjacent to the interconnectivity of the integrated national system, and that has operated in an important manner in order to complement the energy matrix. That when we have no water, we can have thermal energy. And this is also benefited by the solar energy increase that I already explained during the call. Summarizing, we have an effect that has been affecting the basis, and we have weather conditions that have affected the results till the moment. And besides this, we also have a positive last line result. And product of diversification, cost control, and financial structure of the company that allows us even to grow even in the last line. And third, the generation matrix and the actual conditions forecast that we will finish this year with a similar or even better condition than the one that we're reporting for this quarter. This is mainly explained by the reasons that I previously mentioned. So summarizing, we've been doing good. There was an effect, yes, but at the end of the year, looks like we'll close pretty well based on the weather that we've been facing. In Peru, we've been doing very well. In Peru, there are two assets. One, that's called Hidromanta. It's a small central hydroelectrical central that has 20 megawatts. It's right now in operation. And two wind projects advanced in a fast manner. We were able to obtain a good part of the permits that we required for building the exit lines of that first wind park. The equipments are available, and the structuring of the capital fund, private capital fund that we've been exploring, is in process, and it's advancing fastly. This includes investors that come from different areas, institutional investors, not just Peruvian, but also international investors, from large sizes to small and mid sizes. And we're also exploring the appetite in family offices and small and medium investment vehicles, both for Colombian and Peruvian, and with very good expectations. So the GAC fund, as we've called it, is on site. The team is right now in Peru. We're also exploring other growth avenues that we might find, not just from this that we have for both wind generation projects that totalize close to 450 megawatts, plus the water ones, but others that have also been mapped with very good perspectives. It's not the moment of making any additional announcements because they're under evaluation, they're under assessment, but we have been advancing in that front. Thank you. In addition, we have another question from Sebastian Gallego, where he asks the following. The company announced going into a new water slash infrastructure business. Can you give us more information about this investment? Size of the investment, possible business partners, geography, and timing? Of course, let me give the word to Mauricio Ossa. He's the president of Odinsa, and he's also responsible for the development of this new investment vertical. Well, thank you, Jorge Mario. Greetings for you all. So as the question says, a couple of months ago, Jorge Mario announced to the market that we were going into this new initiative. We've been working on this. So the first thing I'd like to say is that within the value chain of the industry in the water segment, we've established as focus concentrating in reuse. And understood that the sum of the capacity of Odinsa Grupo Argos allows us to build, manage these constructive processes, to work and structure long-term contracts and finding certain opportunities in certain markets. So understanding that we'll be looking at for the reuse treatment and the salting process. We're including, with no specific order, Chile, Peru, and Mexico. We've identified that, speaking of the weather regime that Jorge was speaking about in terms of Celsius, there's some opportunities from the hydric water stress happening in the mining industry in Peru and Chile, and the agro industry in Peru, as well as in northern Peru, for establishing new industries. And this is a stress generated because there's no way of having deposits and treatments and water recirculation that will allow the development of these industries that we just mentioned. So those three sectors have been having this very important dynamic, a growth index higher than what each country has in terms of GDP, and they've been working on that problem, Chile first, Mexico second, and Peru third. They've been working on the policies, public policies, in order for private capital can enter and help with that stress. Besides that, a higher awareness in terms of a water deficit, or sometimes in case of the excess, if countries are incorporating into the neighboring communities to part as the public that will be benefit from all this. And we believe that this is very important because, the capacity that this business group has, the Grupo Argos group has, in terms of managing different groups of interest and the involvement with neighboring communities in sites where we have a certain type of interest or industrial development. And so we're looking at these three countries. Within that focus, within that water focus, we're seeing certain sectors, and we are in that process. Nothing that it's worth mentioning, but in order to place this in the timing, it's under our expectation that during 2025 we could start going to the sector, given the dynamic that all of this analysis brings within, and possible goals that we might have within that development. Initially, this is something that we've been working from Odensa. It's not part of the scope of the platform that we've defined with Macquarie or established with Macquarie for roads and airports. And we're thinking on making this us making this first. And once we've enabled all the capacities, eventually, one certain asset under administration growth route for the development of this upcoming years, we'll be looking for investors and business partners. Well, thank you, Mauricio. In addition, we have a question coming from Catherine Ortiz about our expectations for 2025. It goes as follows. Can you give us, please, a guide of what you're expecting in terms of separate cash flow for Grupo Argos, more specifically for the expected dividends for by company and by CapEx? Catherine, I want to thank you for your question. Let me give the word to Alejandro. But let me frame this answer in what's actually a reality. This budget in terms of the business is being executed as we talk, as we speak, and they have not yet come to an end. The budget proposal, the budget process for this company, sorry, apart from different businesses, from different operations in different regions, and this is done carefully until we consolidate this in all in each one of the company: Cementos Argos, Celsia Summit, Odensa, each one of the concessions, the airport, the Quito airport, and even the companies in which we participate in dividends such as portfolio, have been understood as Grupo Sura, for example. Any of these processes has yet ended. That's the truth of the matter. So it wouldn't be right to give a figure or a certain type of perspective in terms of dividend volume. This obviously will depend on each business and on each dynamic, but I would say that in general terms, this company has always kept dividend distribution policy towards its shareholders and from its businesses towards it through decades, through the years. It's a balanced policy that allows to keep simultaneously the resources to attend financial resources in terms of expansion and business maintenance and capturing opportunities. And that policy that we apply within the group towards our shareholders is also applied to the different businesses to Grupo Argos. So I wouldn't expect any surprises. Obviously, the advancements related to structural related topics such as Nutresa have new realities that will be incorporated in the budgets. And in the case of SURA, if we advance in a certain measure, this will also have implications depending on the scheme that we choose. So I'd like to give the word to Alejandro, but the framework of where we're at right now in the process, I believe in the first quarter next year we'll have a better visibility and be more clear in order to give a more concrete answer. Well, thank you, Jorge. Yeah, precisely as Jorge says, right now we are making or developing the budgets, and this is information that's still being built. But nevertheless, I could give a certain explanation of how we're seeing the close of cash flow for 2024. That, from a philosophical point of view, is the same structure of how the elaboration would happen for the 2025 components. Our cash flow, it's always presented under three components. What we know as operational cash flow, where we basically have dividends received by the controlling companies that we control. And we have revenues for the dividends for the non-controlled ones. This would be Sura Pactia. And we also have other revenues related to the urban development business. If we look at this and the closing expectation, that operational cash flow, we have the total of expected dividends for this year. This will be around 664 billion Colombian pesos. The urban development business will have a cash that will be close to 600 billion Colombian pesos. And when we look at the operational expenses for the real estate business and for paid dividends and that are 530 billion Colombian pesos, this leads to an operational cash flow estimated for 2024 net after all this, the revenues that we receive from dividends and that we pay and additional resources coming from the urban development business. We have a super EBIT of one billion Colombian pesos. This gives us a cash flow after taxes close to 39 billion Colombian pesos. Besides this, we have something that, CAPEX, that's for our case, investment, that's the investment cash flow. Here we have two very important components this year. It's everything that has to do with purchase and repurchase of shares, where we have an expectation of 570 billion Colombian pesos. There's a revenue that we have for share sales is for 121 billion Colombian pesos. This share sale had to do with transactions that we did in its moment with Cementos Argos and with the participation that we had in a product of previous transactions for Argos USA. So this gives us a cash need of 450 billion Colombian pesos. And when we look at everything that has to do with financing flow between the money that we have to pay, disbursements that we receive, and financial expenses, we're saying that the financing net flow is 165 billion Colombian pesos. But we need to bear in mind also from previous periods an excess flow of close to 900 billion Colombian pesos. So when you look at these three components that I'm mentioning, the movement of the period is negative in 524 billion Colombian pesos. But last year, that's why last year, we closed with close to 900 billion Colombian pesos in cash, because we knew that we would be facing this deficit situation, product mainly to the investment we made in the transactions that we did with the Nutresa exchange that ended up with more shares of Grupo Sura. So looking at those movements and with the excess cash that we had from the previous year, we've forecasted that this year we'll close with a cash that will be close to 364 billion Colombian pesos. Last year, we ended with a cash with 910 billion Colombian pesos, and this year we have a cash 364 billion Colombian pesos. because let me say once again, we had estimated important investments and that we didn't want to use leveraging, as Jorge said during the call. And we ended up with a ratio, with a cash ratio of close to 364 billion Colombian pesos. In terms of indicators, the net debt over adjusted EBITDA will close in 1.8 times, very aligned with those triple A rating that we have. In terms of the debt stock, we want to end with the value of 1.75 billion Colombian pesos. So these are figures from last year's, and many of these components will be the same components that we'll be using for the forecast of 2025. And as Jorge said, it's being produced right now, or it's being developed right now. Yeah, I would also complement that with these budgets, the companies will take to their boards a dividend proposal, a dividend distribution proposal that will be approved there. And this is framed under a cash planning for Grupo Argos. Well, thank you very much. We don't have any additional questions on Zoom platform. We've had questions through text messages, Twitter platform. But this is a platform over which we can answer the questions in an organized manner. So we can answer any additional questions during the upcoming days. Okay, so thank you, everyone. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your queries. And we're more than open to answer and complement this analysis or any other questions that you might have. So I hope you have a nice day, and thank you for being with us.